It's a Mesero Monday. Jennifer Gartenberg over on the other side at mic number two. John Hansen here at mic number one. And we're talking about things to do at the end of the year. And we knocked out six of them in the first podcast. So go back one if you want some strategies on how to beat Uncle Sam this year and beyond. And there is sort of a connection here when we talk about the IRA to the Roth IRA conversion, Jennifer, because that can help you with Uncle Sam in the long term too. Just walk us through basically what this means, a potential conversion.
Sure. So a Roth IRA is an IRA that you do not get a tax deduction for when you put money in, but when you take money out, you don't pay tax. So they're great for young people who have a long time horizon, who are in a lower tax bracket than they might be later on. Another option, opposed to just contributing directly to Roth IRAs, is to take your traditional IRA, and at any time, you can move a portion of that into a Roth IRA. It's called a Roth IRA conversion. The amount you convert from traditional to Roth, you pay ordinary income tax on. So depending on your tax bracket, and if you have other income sources this year, and the size of your IRA, this could be a really considerable tax amount. So it's something to think about. However, if you have, for whatever reason, a year where your income is artificially low, maybe you left one job partway through the year and you're starting a new job this year, and as a result, you're in a lower tax bracket. Maybe you recently retired, but you don't yet have RMDs, required withdrawals from IRAs. There's all kinds of reasons. Maybe you went back to school and you're back in school, and so you have no income, but you had an IRA from when you worked previously. Those are all good years to consider a conversion.
And so let's say you're taking $100,000 out. So you have an IRA, and I'm going to convert it to a Roth. So it's $100,000. I'm going to pay the tax on the $100,000, essentially.
Yep. So you might owe $25,000 or something like that, and you'd have to come up with that money from somewhere else.
Right.
You wouldn't use the money from the IRA to pay that. So you have to make sure. That's why I would talk to your accountant or your wealth advisor and make sure that the amount that you convert, you have the cash elsewhere to pay the tax, because it can be considerable.
Right. Because we don't want to take $100 out of a traditional and pay the tax with it and then just put $75 in the Roth. We want to move all $100 to the Roth and then pay the $25 with savings or treasury bills, something that you have that is not liquid that you have.
Yep.
Okay. Yeppers is another way to say that. We were talking beforehand about you say absolutely a lot. I say 100% all the time. So you could use yeppers, all right?
I don't know if that's I'm not a yeppers kind of gal, but maybe I'm still working on this.
I like that. Oh, and the other thing about the conversions, do you often like set it up with people where maybe they're going to do $10,000 a year for 10 years? I'm just making up numbers here. Where you space it out, the conversion. You don't do it all at once.
That's another option. It really depends on what tax bracket you're in, what tax bracket you think you're going to be in the future, and if you think tax rates are going to change considerably between now and retirement. But it's a tough pill to swallow for to say to someone that the benefits of the Roth IRA are worth giving up so much liquidity and cash to pay the taxes. So it's really a balancing act. It makes sense for certain people, but for most, it might not be a great fit.
What about if it wasn't this year, but a real down year in the market? Is that an opportunity to do it because your portfolio might be a little less?
It could be. So using that same example, if your $100,000 IRA is now worth $70,000, but you believe the market, you know, went down for reasons that don't really make sense and it's likely to go up again, that would be a great time to do the conversion because in theory, you are converting it at a discount.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. But that wasn't this year.
Or last year.
Or the year before that. Yes. That was another 2022 conversation we had. But on that note, boy, what a great run we're having here. And I think a lot of people are starting to wonder, does this all make sense? This is not only a run for the past 3 years. Yes, 2022 was down, but great year in 2021. 2020, yes, we had the pandemic, but boy, what a quick rebound. We've had like two dead cat bounces, and those have been our two last bear markets. We've had lost decades in the past. I'm not predicting that in the future, but now would be a great time when we're at these highs, for the most part, feeling good about stuff, to look at what's under the hood, right?
Yeah. So a lot of people, when they build an investment portfolio, whether they do it on their own or with a wealth advisor, they come up with an asset allocation, which basically means how much money is in stocks and how much money is in bonds. And at that point, you come up with a percentage, let's say 30% in bonds and 70% in stocks. And it makes sense based on how much risk you're comfortable taking and how long until retirement and all these factors. But then what happens is people go about their lives and they really forget about that.
Yep.
And they don't necessarily revisit, am I still at 30-70? And is 30-70 still the right allocation for me? So what can often happen, and likely happen to many of your portfolios, given the strong last 3 years we've had, is if your intention was to have 30% bonds and 70% stocks, but the stock market has gone up double digits for the last 3 years, naturally, even if you didn't take any money out, the percentage in stocks, because those values have gone up more, naturally is now quite a bit higher than the 70% you intended it to be.
So your portfolio could be 80-20 at this point.
Without you doing a thing and without you even realizing it. So if you really think that 70-30 is what's appropriate for you and what you're comfortable with, don't wait for the market to go down for it to get back to those to get to that allocation. Take advantage of the winners. Sell. If you're at 80-20 and you meant to be at 70-30, sell 10%. If you can do it in an IRA to avoid taxes, great. But if you have to incur taxes in a taxable account to rebalance, that's okay. That's the point. You don't want to not have to pay taxes because your account didn't appreciate as much. Don't let taxes prevent you from
having strategy.
Right, from having the risk tolerance that's appropriate for you.
Yeah. I know a lot of people might be listening. They're like, oh my gosh, my 401k, I haven't done. A lot of things rebalance automatically every quarter, right? I always get emails about this.
401ks often do.
Right.
But if you have IRAs or joint accounts or trusts, it's very unlikely that they're rebalancing automatically.
All right. Well, make sure you're doing that, everybody. Just like generally speaking, like, are you advising clients? Like, I mean, that's why you talk to an advisor, right? I mean, not that you guys have a crystal ball, but you guys have a way to have a playbook where you can run the permutations of all the different things that could potentially happen to the markets over the next 1, 5, 10 years, right?
Right. And we really work to understand our clients and make sure that their portfolio is appropriate for them. There's no one size fits all. And some people care much more about returns and they're okay with a lot of volatility and others aren't. So make sure that your portfolio reflects your comfort level. And that could change. You know, when people are working, they're often much more comfortable taking risk. And then in retirement, once they know they're no longer adding to that portfolio, they might want to get more conservative. And they need to make sure that they have an advisor, if they're doing it themselves, that understands how to do that in a strategic and tax efficient way.
877 Mesiro is where you can find those folks. Mesiro.com, MESIROW.com. We'll do it again next week, Jennifer. Okay.
Thanks, John.